Track session number 20007, reel 4.
Jimmy Kelly, reel 4. You were wounded on the 29th of May, 1944.
Yes.
And they carried you for 3 days to Kohima.
Up to Kohima. That was a field hospital, well, a hospital. It was a brick building. And that's where a lot of the heavy fighting had begun on around the Kohima area. There was hundreds killed up that way, they tell me. I wasn't in that, though. But I went in there and... I must have slept for 2 days, I think. I don't remember much in any case, except them taking me in, looking at it, sorting it out, and then a week after Kohima, I was sent down to Bombay.
How did you get from Kohima to Bombay?
In a cattle truck. I was in the cattle truck for about 6 days. Laying on the floor. There was quite a few wounded there come down with us, but we went down there to Bombay and we got into the Bombay hospital, got treated down there. But I don't remember much about the 6 days in the cattle truck, but that's as far as I could recollect, that it took about 6 days to get down, stopping and starting and getting fed here and getting fed there.
And what happened when you got to Bombay?
I got to Bombay, I was put into the hospital there, and I don't know what they operated or looked at it. The wound had probably been healed by then. They probably looked at it, didn't stitch it or nothing, as far as I can realise. And there, we'd stopped taking the Mepiquen and Pepiquen tablets, and malaria burst out on me. And I think I had it three times, one after the other, and then they sent me up to Ranikit, up to the mountain.
Was that to convalesce over the malaria?
Convalesce over the malaria, yes. And I was up there for about a month, I think it was. 3 weeks or a month, and then I was sent back down to Bombay. And there I went before a medical board, and they decided, things was going all right now, we could... They'd transfer me back to England. I come back to England there. I went to landed at Liverpool.
When would this have been?
That'd be 44, the back end of 44. No, January. Was it January?
1945?
Yes, January 45. I was landed back in Liverpool and I went straight up home to Newcastle on 3 weeks' leave. And then I reported to a hospital in Gosford.
So you were still receiving medical treatment for your wound?
Yes.
And what had happened with your wound? Was it having problems healing?
Not really. I think it was just to make sure you got a medical when you got back here. And after I was about a month, I think in 3 weeks to a month in Gosford. And then I was sent up to Ayr, where I slept on Ayr racecourse in the stands. I was there for a few months. And what happened then was we were doing very well in Europe. The war was over there. And they were everybody was getting out from the army. Now, I was... up in Ayr, and I was a land sergeant, and I was in charge of the post or something, put me in charge of the post. And then they started sending groups of lads down to Farnham to get demobbed, well, to get a medical to see how they were. And I was sending lads down there with little finger missing, and they were getting out straight away. So I went up to Captain Scott, he was the muleteer officer actually in Burma with us, and I said, I want to have my stripes in. Oh, no, he says, you've only 5 or 6 months to do. No, I said, I want to hand them in. So I handed them in, and within 3 weeks I was down in Farnham, and I got to Farnham I think Monday or a Tuesday, and I went before a medical board, and a word he said to me, who sent you down here? I said, well, I come down, you should have been discharged me there and then, and sent me up home and sent all the gear after me. I went down there every Tuesday, I was back in Newcastle, they mobbed every Friday, and that was the end of it.
Can I ask you a few questions about your Chindit service?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which column were you with?
I was with Broadway.
You'd landed at Broadway?
No, Broadway was the name of the column.
Right.
There was Broadway in New York. The New York should have marched in from the north, but they got bogged down, the monsoons broke too soon, and they couldn't get through.
Did you ever meet Ord Wingate?
Oh, yes, I met Wingate twice, a couple of times. He went in, I'd have walked in, I went in on a plane and never come out again.
What was he like?
A little man and a dogged man. The way I'd put it was that what he thought he was doing was correct, but I don't think he understood the circumstances that arose about taking anybody back out. As I say, if he got wounded, how we were going to get out, nobody ever knew. And that's why I've always said a lot of us that went in there were never intended to come out. The story was never to be told.
Did that affect the morale of the unit at all?
Not really. You didn't realise it yourself until you got your first wounded. And then you realise, well, what happens here?
Because you mentioned earlier that you'd had relatively little warning that you were going to be in the Chindits at all.
Oh, no warning.
Did you meet Wingate on the Imphal plane before you flew in?
We did. We literally came up to see us twice. And then after that, he got killed and General Slim, was it, took over? I think it was Slim, took over. And I met him a couple of times before we... And we just seen him before we went in. And he always knew something was going to happen. Well, I did. He got a big drop of rum. I said, well, that's what's going on here. Now, that's before we went on the march, and when we got on the march over the mountains to the other side, 2 days before we went in, we got this pot of rum again. I said, here we go. But nobody knew, actually. And as regards people saying that you got trained for the one that led as you didn't, you were showing them once, and that was it. Stand this side, stand this side. But... I suppose he had his ideas was good, but if you think them through, it's like walking to the edge of a cliff. You're going to fall over it. Is anybody there to help you? But I'm sure, I'm positive, the lads that like myself that went in by glider, we were never intended to come back again.
You had no planned escape route out of Burma at all?
Nothing at all.
No. So you had to make your own way?
Yes. And you see, the point is, if there was one compass, that's all there was. So you had to go by good judgment or somehow keep on marching if you ever got lost.
Would the officers have directed you through the jungle?
Yes. Captain Simpson was in charge of us. Now, he had a compass, but he was the only one with one.
And he was killed on the first roadblock?
He was killed on the first roadblock. Now, somebody else would probably get the compass off him, one the next officer. But this was it. The equipment was very, very scarce as regards that type of thing.
What were conditions like in the jungle?
Well, once again, you made your own latrines and all like that. You looked after yourself to the best of your ability, because once again you were independent. You had your own food, you had your own washing gear, so you were independent as regards help of any description. Very cold at night time, wet. The ground always seems wet no matter where you go in the jungle, and snakes or stuff like that. I didn't see many of them. But you always remember that you walk line ahead, not across, single file. If you went across and a snake think you were going to...
Did you have to keep silence in the jungle?
Oh, yes. If you knew there was anything about you, yes, you kept very silent. Normally, you'd be more content on watching where you were going. And There was no singing or shouting or nothing like that, night time especially.
Was that enforced?
Yes. And you weren't allowed to light a fire in case of the smoke. What I used to do, you see, it was a greaseproof wrap around you. Well, I used to keep that. And you'd set that a light over the little can, and you get enough hot water to make a hot drink. But there was no smoke come from it. Because I used to hide that, or you could have on my own do it. Everybody else did it, set fire to the places.
And how did you sleep in the jungle?
Just down where you were, got down to it. If you got 2 or 3 hours sleep, you'd be lucky. Sometimes during the daytime, you might get an opportunity to sleep. They have an hour or two undercover in between your margin. But as I say, if you've done a roadblock for 3 days and then you march for maybe 3 or 4 days, well, out of that, you might get 1 day or a day and a half to yourself to do a bit of washing or laze about or something like that, clean your rifle and see everything was right.
And when you were marching, what were the conditions like underfoot?
No, they weren't bad. They weren't real bad. The point is, we had a big dar. I mean, we used to chop down the bamboos as you went along. But 9 cases out of 10, if you got hilly side, you were all right. You'd pretty decent. But once or twice, we'd hack our way through about a mile and a half at the jungle. And as you know, the bamboo grows as quick as you cut it down, really.
And were conditions worse in the valley bottoms as opposed to on the hills?
In the valley bottoms, yes, it was pretty damp on the valley bottom. Now, up the top, you'd be better staying up a height because you could see everything around you. Anything coming over the top could see you down the valley, so you were generally done, was kept away from the horizon, but far enough up the mountain that you had a view all the way around you.
And can you estimate how many miles you would make a day?
Maybe 9 to 10. At the most 10. So you do maybe 40 mile in your 4 or 5 days off for to get yourself into a higher or a lower position. And
you would be supplied by airdrops during that period?
Once every five days. Night time was dropped. Always dropped at night time.
Did you get enough rations?
Well, there was always plenty of food, but the stipulation was that you'd only live in it for so long. Bacon, you get a little tin of ham and bacon, ham and egg, that'd be your dinner. It was very high protein stuff, the same with the little biscuits. Be about 4 little biscuits in the packet. Well, that was a meal.
And did that agree with your constitution?
Oh yes, I was all right. I could eat it all right. Some of them couldn't, but I was all right. As I say, there was no. You could get a village. Sometimes you got into a village and you get rice from the villagers. Now their rice would be lily white, perfectly cooked and wrapped in a bamboo leaf, and you give them some money for that. Or sometimes you get an egg or two from the villagers. You buy some eggs.
And what were the relationships like with the villagers?
With the Gurkhas that could speak their language, it was all right. But as I say, you could never trust anybody. You don't know whether they were saying hello to you and 10 minutes after saying hello to the Japs. Oh, yes.
And on the march, did you lose weight?
Yes, I lost a lot of weight. I was only 8 stone 4 when I joined the army. And I put some weight on, but in there I lost quite a bit of weight. I think I lost a couple of stone.
And did the other chindits that you were with, did they have other types of medical problems that they encountered?
Dysentery. Some of them had dysentery. The usual complaints in the far out there, in the far in Indian Burma. You see, you are given the mepicon and a pepcon tablet and they drink salt water. Now, if you stuck rigid to your mepicon and pepcon, you were all right. But some of them didn't, so they took malaria, you see. Well, I stuck to it, but as soon as you stop them, then it all comes back out on you then. you wouldn't give them the quinine. It was the mepiquin and peppercorn tablets you got.
And what's your feelings now to having served with the Chindits?
It was a great experience, and I did enjoy it. But when you look back and you see the ones that didn't come back, and you say, well, what did they go in for? Admitted we'd done some good for to get them out of Burma as quick as they did. But the overall, as regards dropping behind the lines like that, it's really a waste of time.
Do you feel things that could have been done in a different way?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I imagine that to put a force in, it's hard to say get them from the air. Anyway, you have to get them in. Even the parachuter now going in. They reckon if you drop one parachute, if they get one safe, you lose four. So for every one you've landed safe, you've sent five in, you get one down. Well, that's not practical to me.
What would you say the overall casualties were from your column?
I couldn't really say. Did I know from about 30-odd out of my, that I experienced with my lot, at least, there was two, three officers that was killed. That would be about 30 at least from the ones that I know of. But then there was a lot, well, the ones that should have come in from the far north that never got there, well, they'd have took a lot of the burden off. Our column had to be split up in two instead of operating as one.
And at the end of the operation, were many of your colleagues, were they medically unfit?
You see, I come out, I was flown, I come out, marched out, you see, so I never got in contact with any of them again. But there'd be quite a few mentally scarred, I should think, with what they've seen. Well, I mean, as I say, if you got wounded, and you're too badly wounded, and nothing can be done for you, well, they wouldn't leave you there.
Was that a very big priority amongst your
comrades? Oh, yes, yes.
Comrades?
Yes. The idea was that where I was lucky, I was only 3 days away from Kohima to come out. But sometimes you'd have been maybe 10, 12 days away from it, where there'd be no hope of getting them out. And I've seen one or two come out on the little planes. But as I say, if there were one stretcher, a one sitting was all that could go on the plane.
And you could only do, with the aircraft, you could only use that landing strip once?
That's all, yes. You could come in, get them out. Well, I mean, there was a doctor, I forget who the doctor was. He'd done a few amputations, I believe, in the jungle. Well, they'd be taken out.
When you were operating as Chindits, when you, had, say, had casualty evacuation or you'd set up a roadblock, would the idea be to remove from that situation as quickly as possible once the operation had been finished?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You get away, as I say, you held it for 3 days and then you disappeared. North, south, east or west, you go back into the jungle, away from the road altogether.
And you would move then to another position?
Another position, either north or south, 20 or 30 miles north or south. And then you'd put another roadblock in. As you come out, another one further down, put one on. So there was always one in operation.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Kelly.
Well, that's fine.